Go for it.
Okay, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Welcome to the Muslima Self-Care Conference hosted by Naima. I'm looking forward to this as your, I will be presenting the self-care and strength, building a sanctuary for yourself within motherhood. So I welcome all of you, inshallah. Let's start. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. May Allah make this a means of some insights, inshallah, for us. Okay, the Muslima mother, living to your true self with self-worth. So we're focusing on this conference about self-care, self-worth, and self-love. So these are the main areas that we hope to, inshallah, to build. So I want to give salams and welcome. My five boys. I have, alhamdulillah, it's about a year old now. But I have, this is the ones that have taught me most of my life experience as a parent, alhamdulillah. I'm also a stepmother and in my second marriage. So that's just a little bit behind me. I love fitness and I love, I pretty much made a decision when I was 14 years old. I had a life experience that when I was 14 years old, I made a decision to really want different. I wanted to be part of the change at 14 years old about how children were raised up without abuse, raised up in a place where they would feel really harmonious and thriving and feel safe. So that's a bit of another story. Maybe I have to write a book, inshallah. Okay, let's start. So before I start this workshop, I really want everyone to just check in with themselves emotionally. It's a quick emotional body scan, and I really encourage it because emotional intelligence is something that a lot of us weren't taught. We weren't brought up to kind of connect with our feelings. How am I feeling right now? Kind of be mindful of how I'm feeling. And so it's really good to just stop, take a breath. Okay, what are the five emotions I have been feeling in the past week? And I'd love for you to share in the chat, what were some of the emotions that you're feeling? And I've given you a little bit of a grid there of just some ideas of emotions. And that is part of self-care, is knowing where my body is. What is my body whispering to me? What am I feeling? What are my thoughts that I'm feeling? So please, in the chat, have a think about five emotions that you felt in the last week and share it, inshallah. And I'll have a check-in soon. Oops, I'll go back. Anyone want to share some of the emotions that they felt? Let's have a look. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Okay, I can't see the chat. Okay, it's not letting me see the chat.
But, ladies are saying that they felt excitement, fear, anxiety. We've got vulnerability, gratitude, guilt. We've got anger, anxiety. We've got joy, anxiety, sadness, excitement, appreciation. We've got worry, overwhelm, frustration, and also gratitude. We've got anger. We've got grief. We've got frustration. So a real range, Khadija.
Yeah, mashallah, beautiful. And it's just to check in with yourself. And it's a really great way that each week that you keep checking in with yourself, how am I feeling emotionally? Doing that emotional body scan to check how you're feeling. And remember, you're feeling your thoughts. So the emotions that you're habitually having a lot can be indicative of what thoughts you're having during the day and during the week. So let's have a look at what we're talking about here. So I want to walk you through some tips to build a positive and a private sanctuary inside with self-love, to live a thriving life instead of just surviving on autopilot, to connect back to yourself, loving the self through doing what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your self-care as the mother is not a gift to have when you have time. And I hear this over and over and over. My obstacle is time. And it's what is needed for our own healing, our own growth, and our own legacy. How you want to show up, she is inside you. And how you want to show up as a mother is how you see yourself. So what I hear all the time from women is the never enough narrative. You know, overwhelmed, exhausted, anxiety, isolated, disappointed, conditioned to believe that they are there to just give and give and give, and they're not doing enough. We've got a very clear belief around that area. And I want to go back to coming back to ourselves and really thinking about, how do I really want to show up from here onwards? What do I need? What do I need to really show up from a place of worthiness? From a place where I value self-care and I value self-love. So how much do I believe that I matter, my self-worth? So really to create that space inside you so that the mother you most want to be can rise naturally with courage. To practice courage, compassion, and connection is to look at life and the people around us and say, I'm in for this. To raise courageous, compassionate, and connected children, we must first learn to teach them to tell their stories, speak their truth, and feel their emotions. But first, it starts with me. For me to teach my children that, I actually have to have that within me. I have to be aware of how I am emotionally. I have to be mindful of what is happening with me. What are the stories and labels I'm holding on to? What are the truths that I'm holding on to that may be a misconceptions? And this is a beautiful journey of self-awareness. It's a journey of coming from self-awareness, becoming more consciously aware of the patterns that I'm living with. How am I perceiving myself? And this is a huge part of self-care and self-love, because until we really understand the value of ourselves, we will always be pulled in every direction by everybody else's opinion, by everybody else's need. And so it's like taking yourself back and connecting back to yourself and connecting back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So I have a question, Sister Khadija.
Yeah, go for it.
How do you advise us to do this practically? Is this like a journaling activity? Should we do it after this class, for example? You know, is it something people do in during dua? You know, what do you think is the best place or best way for us to make sure that we actually do carve out time to do what you're telling us to do?
I'm going to go through a few steps, but I think the key is the first thing is permission to allow yourself. And that comes back. That's the first thing. Everything is driven by the beliefs that we hold about ourselves. So examining what are the beliefs I'm holding about myself. And as we go through, I'm going to ask the ladies to kind of answer the questions about where is it where I may be not giving myself permission. Where is it that I'm not prioritizing myself? What is the belief? Because all behavior is driven by a belief. You know, all behavior is like the outcome. You know, outcome is the behavior, but behind, we are not our behavior. What is behind behavior is the beliefs, the values, the cultural conditionings, all these things. And if we're not consciously aware of them, then we're going to show up from a place where we sometimes don't understand why we're doing the things that we're doing. We will self-sabotage. We will say, you know, I'm going to make sure I'm going to, you know, spend some time and carve some time out for myself. But if we don't first go unearth and go underneath what the belief is that's holding us back from showing up for ourselves, we're always going to be in a perpetual cycle of putting everybody else before ourselves. So inshallah, as I go through this, I'm going to give prompts. So by the end of it, inshallah, we'll get a clearer picture and of about how do we carve that, inshallah. So I want to start looking at living a wholehearted life. So wholehearted life is like, these are some of the answers I asked some of the ladies in my group. What is a wholehearted life? And I want you to think about that. Write in the chat, what does it mean to live a wholehearted life? And, you know, Mariam, she said, it is to be in peace within, content. Wafa said, I think about the ayat that says to enter in Islam wholeheartedly. That is, don't question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have tawakkul. Niha said, wholehearted for me means being my full self, where I am vulnerable and accepting. Demand is to show up as my sincere, true self. Aisha said to do everything for Allah, for Allah pleasing him. When you think about your life and really showing up in a wholehearted life with your full heart, what does that mean to you? And I'd love for you to, if you agree with any of the definitions that some of the sisters had mentioned, or what was it that came up for you when you hear that? You're welcome to share in the chat.
We've got Sharifat saying it's to be present in your life. And Habiba says it's to live and not just exist.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay, inshallah. Okay. So reclaiming your soul wholeheartedly. So this is what my definition of living a wholehearted life. It's your healing and happiness is not everyone's responsibility. It's very much an inside job. All self-internal conflicts fall away when one learns self-acceptance and self-nurturing of the purpose of their soul. When we heal our inner self, we become consciously aware and we heal our families, our next generation. We're able to contribute from a place of authenticity. Authenticity is saying, I show up. I have flaws, I have weaknesses, I have imperfections, but I'm showing up. I want to show up. I want to feel the fear and show up. We become self-aware, go deep in self-discovery, and less affected by the chatter of the outside world. We let go of the labels. It's our journey to remind ourselves we matter, we value who we are, and our ability and strength Allah SWT has bestowed on us. We become aware of our values and find our life what really matters. We have more patience and more shukr, gratitude for this life, and not allow it to break us. So what I'm asking is, when I really want you to think about your own life, where you need to reclaim your soul back. When you take back that power, when you say, you know what, I want to show up differently in my life. I want to show up for me differently. In this life, a very temporary life, I want to show up wholeheartedly. I don't want to just be in survival. I don't want to be just in exhausted mode. I just don't want to be in autopilot. I don't want to be the labels that other people prescribe to me. This journey is coming back. You cannot create love and self-worth until you really, really know yourself. And you really start to undo the layers. And it's messy work sometimes. And it's an incredible journey. And you fall at times. And sometimes you're like, wow, there is some things that I need to acknowledge here. So we're going to go through that. Acknowledge some of the things that I might need to be a barrier to my self-care and self-love. So if one of the biggest things to build a sanctuary within is to really become aware of your triggers, really become aware and identifying the painful patterns that you keep holding, whether it's procrastination, self-sabotage, holding yourself back, playing small. To build a sanctuary within has to become a conscious awareness of your triggers, your wounds, and your painful patterns, discovering what lays underneath. We can only give others what we have practiced giving ourselves. We can only give others what we have practiced giving ourselves. So basically, we downloaded this blueprint from our parents. You know, there's all these things like a computer, and we downloaded the software. And, you know, there was a lot of things and messages that were put into us, particularly in that first 7 years of life, into our subconscious mind. And to change those struggles, to change the issues that we experience daily in our lives, we have to become consciously aware of how we're operating. What's our pattern of behavior? How do we react? What are my triggers? You know, what are your values? You know, what are your values around parenting? What makes you angry? What makes you upset? How I step through my fears and knock down the obstacles that are holding me back, playing small or procrastinating instead of living a life I really want for myself and my children. So a lot of childhood trauma, behaviors that we were, messages that we were given in our childhood, we received. And sometimes it's so deeply rooted in who we are that we sometimes don't fully understand why we do the things we do, what drives our behavior, and feel until we unearth and turn inwards. And redesigning your life internally, it takes the effort. It takes time. Okay? It takes conscious awareness to know yourself, your attachments, your values, your goals, coming back to that authentic self. Knowing yourself allows you to know and connect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deeply. You must determine who you are as a servant of Allah and what you really need in your life to thrive and have inner peace. What have you not allowed or neglected to yourself? So I really want you to have ponder on this question, and I would love for you to share in the chat. What is something that you have not allowed for yourself, or maybe something you've neglected for yourself? Because I really want to cut down to some of the barriers that stop us from really loving ourselves, from really coming from a place of our really acknowledging our worthiness, really allowing, carving that time for our self-care, is to first question, where have I not allowed something or neglected for myself? So if you, I would love for you to share in the chat, inshallah.
So the sisters are gathering their thoughts. I've got a question here that you may want to address later about whether there are any du'as or ayats that can be recited to help us achieve healing and sort of self-worth. Is there anything there? So maybe that could be a question for later. But Sharifa says, a barrier that I'm starting to notice is that self-pressure to be perfect at everything.
This is a big one. And this is something I'm definitely going to look at and talk about, this perfectionist image that other people want us to have, you know. It's a big one. As to what you're saying, Naima, something that comes to my mind, which I think is one of the most precious du'as of self-care, and one that I used in real time as a test, particularly in times like when I was giving birth and when I really wanted to access Allah's help and support, because Allah is the most merciful. He is our true support. You know, he's really there for us. And that was the dua of Yunus. And, you know, Yunus, if he hadn't made that dua in the whale, he would not have come out because of the sincerity and beauty of there's a whole commentary by Ibn Qayyim, and he mentions how that if you mention this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure that he will relieve you of the difficulty that you're in. And it's a really beautiful dua because it mentions that it's beseeching Allah as a that I have done wrong and that I'm seeking your mercy, Allah. And you know how humble and beautiful the prophets that when they were in times of test, they never hesitated to acknowledging and humbling themselves and really acknowledging that they really needed Allah, that Allah really has our back. You know, Allah's really there for us. And for me, the dua of Yunus is one that I've always held on to, especially in times of test. I think it's such a, I think of it as a self-care dua because it's always reminding you that Allah has your back. Allah will never judge you. He will not see, you know, he won't leave you alone. He's always there for you. And as we recognize ourselves more and we recognize who Allah is, we go from a completely different perception. Like many of us will hold a perception, like I know for a long time in my life, I held this perception that I had a very scarcity mindset. So my mindset was very scarcity in regards to many aspects of my life. When I really understood and got the insight that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is abundant and he has this full khazana of treasures that he's ready to give out, you know, he's very, very ready to give, his abundance. It was like, wow, if I just carry a little bit of this mindset of Allah's abundancy and access that, know that Allah is abundant, he's ready to give, the power of my du'as and the power of me seeking Allah's help went to another level. And I think that is such a beautiful thing when you think about the perception that Allah holds of us. You know, he loves us. He wants best for us. He doesn't want us to be struggling. He doesn't want us. And one of the most beautiful insights that Allah gives to us is the awareness of how great he is and how much he is there to help us. Inshallah. Naima, did anyone share in the chat?
Yeah, they did, mashallah. Yeah. We've got the sister who said, you know, talked about the perfectionism. She said that it's not allowing her to ask for help or to take help or even identify when she needs help. And also Sister Rafia said, I've neglected making time daily for exercise. And a really lovely message here from Sis Manella who says, I love this, dropping gems, alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. But also we've got some more here, mashallah, some more, you know, people being introspective, I guess. We've got Sister Zoe saying, I've neglected time for myself to learn about myself. And I've also got Amina who says she's been overly critical when someone offers help. So when even her husband tries to help out and do his bit, she can't help sometimes, but do the task again.
Oh dear. Alhamdulillah, that's a painful pattern.
Indeed.
Alhamdulillah. I'm going to go into that even more, inshallah. Okay, thank you, ladies. I really honor you for sharing that and being open to that. This question, what's the greater risk, letting go of what people think or letting go of how I feel, what I believe and who I am? I want you to really become a bit more self-aware and think about, is there something I'm believing about myself that isn't 100% true? Is there some misconception I'm holding onto? Is there some perception I'm holding about myself or my child, someone around me? You know, is there a label that I need to let go of? I always think of Layinka, she always says, is there a label that you need to divorce? You know, is there something that you've got to let go of? So having a think about that as we go through this journey of remembering, why do I have to create a sanctuary within? Why do I have to have self-love? Why do I have to create self-care for my life? Okay, cultivating self-love is self-worth. So a deep sense of love and belonging is irresistible need of all people. We are biologically, cognitively, physically, and spiritually wired to love, to be loved, and to belong. When those needs are not met, we don't function as we were meant. We break, we fall apart, we numb, we ache, we hurt others, we get sick. Brené Brown. Remember, there are two people in every healthy relationship. Leaving yourself, your needs, your safety, your happiness out of the equation is saying like 1 + 0 = 2. It doesn't add up. So really thinking about for yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, where is it that you're putting your biologically, your cognitively, your spiritually, your physical, your mental needs? Where are you putting them first? 10 being fully thriving, you're in a place where you are honoring the needs that you have. You're able to articulate your needs and able to ask for your needs. You're able to access them. And one is like to ask for help, to offend it, to ask for help, rejecting help, really, really not looking after your health, not looking after yourself. So have a think about that. Where are you right now in your life from 1 to 10? And one thing, you know, I always think about, sisters, is that if you don't have time for your wellness, you're always going to have time for your burnout and your sickness. And I've seen that so many times. I've seen that so many times in my life where women burnt themselves out because they were too busy serving and giving and giving, and then ended up sick, so burnt out or in chronic illness because they just thought that by showing up and keep burning themselves out, that somehow other people are going to appreciate me more or validate me more or think I'm such a great person, or I met this expectation that was in my head about me and how I need to be. And I really want to just look at the, some of the labels that we hold about ourselves and really think, do I really want to be like this when I'm a much older woman in my 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s? Do I really want to look back in my life and think, I fulfilled everything that I wanted for myself, cultivating what I needed, when I needed it, because I needed to meet a certain expectation from somebody else. So thinking about that, and share with me where you are on that scale.
We've got eights, we've got fours, we've got threes, we've got sixes.
Like, just about wherever you are on that number, think about, what does that mean?
Sister says, sister gave herself a seven, and she says, I have been burnt out, but I'm now learning to stand up again and go back to my fitra, inshallah. Yay.
Mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. I want to talk a little bit, because I have a background in child development and child psychology, I want to talk about a little bit about triggers and trauma, because I have this theory that if your lack of self-love could be a trauma response, and this is something that I feel is something that, I don't know, I've just have this, working with so many women lately, I just feel that sometimes this could be, and I want you to think, is that possibility? Do you agree with me on this? Okay, so have you heard of the flight, freeze, fawn response? So most of you would have heard about flight and fight. So when, you know, a trigger happens, when you feel frightened, when you feel upset, we naturally, our, you know, amygdala closes down, and in our brain basically fires up and thinks danger, fear. And so, you know, we then go into the upper part of our brain, which is the cognitive area that's like, you know, makes all the decisions and everything, that shuts down, and we go into a reaction, right? So you get triggered, you might see it straight on your body, it might happen very, very fast, you know. All of a sudden, if you saw a dog, for example, if you're a child and a dog had attacked you or saw something bad, that could be straight away dog fear. So it's like association, right? So some of us go into fight mode when we're triggered, when we feel some fear. So fight mode can be controlling, it can be fighting back, it can be arguing, it can be even bullying. That can be like a fight response. Our flight response is like to run away, you know, hide, panic, get anxiety, you know. So that's the normal. We hear that a lot about the fight and flight response. And with the freeze response, it's kind of like you get stuck, difficult to make decisions because you've just been overwhelmed by that fear, that emotion's kind of overtaken. So when you're in a freeze area, you're just like, you numb yourself, you can't really think or realize what's going on. And fawn. So according to Peter Walker, who coined the term fawn, he's a psychologist, as it relates to trauma, people with a fawn response are so accommodating of others' needs that they find themselves in a codependent relationship. Fawn types seek safety by merging with their wishes, needs, and demands of others. They act as if they unconsciously believe that their price of admission to any relationship is the fulfillment of all needs, rights, preference, and boundaries. Below will list some classic signs of fawning. So basically, a fawn type person, if you have a fawn response, which comes from childhood wounds, you struggle to take up space, express your needs, show up, speak your truth. So some of those aspects of fawning is people pleasing, being able to say how you really think or feel, So if someone comes to your house and you want to, you know, or you go to someone's house and they offer you a glass of water and you're really thirsty, you're like, no, it's okay, it's fine. You know, I don't need that. So it's about not asserting your needs, caring for others to your own detriment. We're overgiving, not able to say no, always saying yes when intuitively your alignment is like, I really need to say no. Flattering others, that can especially happen if there's a conflict situation where you don't want to deal with the conflict. So you flatter them or you make them feel good so you don't have to deal with the repercussions of their behavior response. Struggling with low self-esteem, feeling taken advantage of, resentment, you know, being very concerned about fitting in. There's a very big difference between fitting in and belonging. And things like not having boundaries, feeling overwhelmed all the time, supporting others emotionally. So there's a few things, lack of identity. A lot of this comes from childhood. So I want you to think about if you have aspects of these qualities in some ways where you may be having a thorn response to fear and asking yourself, what is missing for you? What is the messages you got about taking up space? What was the messages you got about speaking your truth? What was the messages about you got about expressing your needs? Because as you identify those things in your childhood or in your early adult life, you realize what is driving your behavior. You know, a trigger is basically it's like an unhealed memory. It's like the things that we respond to. It's like sometimes our child will do something, right? They'll be doing something and we get upset or we feel triggered. It's not necessarily our child's behavior that has actually caused us to get upset. It's actually our reaction is coming from our past. It's coming from some unhealed memory. It's coming from some unhealed something that has hurt us from the past. Or it's a perception that we've taken. We've interpreted something from our child's behavior and it's reminded us of something of the past. Does that make sense?
Sis, you know what? That makes like almost too much sense. Guys, give me a yes in the chat if that almost makes too much sense. I've actually never heard of the fawn type, and the chat is lighting up with yeses, by the way.
Yes, my theory after working with women for a few years, I was like, subhanAllah. I'm like, I'm saying self-love is coming from this fawn response. It's a trauma response to it's a culturally conditioned response, right? That we're supposed to act in a certain way or be labeled a certain way or do certain things and actually forfeit our needs. So we actually learn, for me, I feel that we learned to suppress some of our needs or speak our truth or shine our light already at such a young age that that's already carried them subconscious throughout our life until we consciously become aware of it.
Wow. Yeah. No, that everybody is really, really resonating. And some sisters have asked if the slides will be available. I think people want to know about it, like, take more detailed notes and really let this sink in, subhanAllah. I'm sure you'll tell them more about that later. But this is, I think we need to just pause here and take a breath.
Yeah, definitely.
And just let this slide sit.
I almost didn't add this this part in because I was thinking, I know this, but part of me was like, this is a real truth bomb. How are people going to respond to this?
Yeah.
Definitely. Because I remember my biggest thing as a child was there was a message in my childhood about don't have a big mouth, don't speak too much, don't shine your light too much. Be humble, play small, basically. And when I understood as an adult that, wait a minute, the Sahaba women, our legacy that was left behind us, they were very empowered women. They were still able to speak their truth, but they were humble. They were still able to shine their light, but they did it in such a way that they still contributed. Like, why are their names being mentioned to this day? The legacy of the women that we have were very empowered women, whatever aspect that they were in. So it's almost like we've learned these messages that we struggle with taking up space. We struggle with speaking our truth. We struggle with expressing our needs. Okay, bismillah. So one of the most important things I really think is the most important, and this is like, Naima, you were mentioning like, how do we cultivate? This is one of them. Cultivating authenticity and letting go of what people think. You either walk inside your story, or you own it, or you stand outside your store and hustle for your worthiness. So you either own your story, speak your truth, and say, this is what I expect, or you're always sitting here thinking, oh, I should have said that. Oh, I should have done that. Oh, why didn't I say that? Why didn't I do that? We sit in this self-doubt. We sit in this place of, of, I'll just sit on the fence here because I don't want to ruffle too many feathers. I don't want to upset anyone. When we let go, when we truly let go of the attachment to the external validation of others and coming back into the validation of ourselves, this is the key for self-care. This is the key for self-love, really validating ourselves internally, not oppressing ourselves. Allah forbids oppression. We are no one's emotional punching bag, no one's. And until we truly realize that, we will never show up in our life in a place where we honor our needs. And I'm telling you, as someone that went through abuse as a childhood, and I went through an 18-year toxic marriage, 18 years is a long time. I got married very young, and it took a long time to get out of that marriage. And I was aware of these things and working through these things. When I took back my power, when I took back and realized Allah does not allow me to be anyone else's emotional punching bag, that Allah does not allow oppression on myself, that was the journey to start walking away. That was the journey to start healing. That was the journey to start loving myself for what Allah has given me. And that's how I can show up, because I know I have to show up. I have to speak a different truth. Not oppressing ourselves, loving the work we do, find your passion. That is self-care. Self-love is really finding your passion, finding yourself, going back to validating yourself. Allah's given you all these beautiful abilities and skills, living your life totally aligned with your purpose. What is your purpose? Go back to that journal, whatever you need to do. Sit at a beach and I don't know, we have beautiful beaches in Australia. I'm not sure where everyone else is, but just be in a place where you're grounded in nature, when you be aware of how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And if you, I know it's hard with lockdowns and stuff like that, but just going out in the grass, doing whatever you do. And one of the most positive and great places that you can actually validate yourself. And I did this tool with some of my clients when real lockdown situations, couldn't leave the house, etc. Visualize. The mind doesn't know any different. Put some water sounds on in the background. Or if you like birds, if you like forests, if you like whatever you like, whatever soothes you, whatever rejuvenates you, put that on. And for 10 minutes, just listen to it, close your eyes and visualize yourself there. Visualize yourself in a place doing better things, hoping, experiencing things. You get totally aligned to your purpose. To get to that place, one first needs to answer, know who I am. What do I really want? What legacy do I want to establish in this life? What deed do I want to farm in this life for the produce of the next? We know this is a temporary life. We know it's our amanat. We don't know how long we're going to be here. So we can't play small. We only have one life. And what are we showing to our children? By sitting in a place where we're just holding on to that negativity, holding on to what I can't do, holding on to holding myself back. I better not do that because what will people think? When we sit in that place, we're not honoring the life that Allah has given us. We're not honoring the skills that Allah has given us. We're not honoring the abilities Allah has given us. This is a gift that Allah has given us. All of these things are amanat, they're trust, just like our children are trust, isn't it? The life is very short. They'll grow up. They'll go and live their own lives. So what we do in the moment right now, we have that. And remember, ladies, what you do in the present moment now is going to show up in a few years' time. What you cultivate in the present moment is going to show up, inshallah. In 5-10 years' time, whatever the time of planning is, it's going to show up. But the present moment is the time to do. Just like I'll give you an example. If we eat a lot, right, we're going to keep eating and not exercising. It's going to show up on our body in 5-10 years' time, right? That's a simple example. So if we stop exercising, we start eating unhealthy food, it's going to show up. What you did 5 years ago is impacting you now. So there's no better way, better time to start than the now. We have the now. Okay, are you playing small? What do you need to allow? The power of words, what you focus on grows. I cannot emphasize this enough. You know, as someone that has studied NLP and neuro-linguistic programming and the power of your words, the words you say to you, every cell in your body absorbs that. Every cell of your body acknowledges that. When you tell yourself, Ya Allah, you have made me, an imperfect human being needing of you, just reminding you the connection that you have with Allah. What do you need to allow? Building your own self-worth is the key to be able to pass that to our children. We want our children to be confident. We need our children to be confident. They're the next generation of Muslims. You know what they're going to see. Their tests are going to be far worse than us. So we want to prepare them. We want to prepare these beautiful children, their amana. We want to affirm to them. We want to build their self-confidence, remind them. But you can't build in someone what you don't have in yourself. You can't give to someone what you don't have in yourself. If you're drained, depleted, exhausted, you can't give. You can't give. So sometimes it's about stopping, not doing, not doing, not trying. It's stopping. It's stopping and just being, reflecting, what do I really want? Affirming what you want, affirming what you do not want. It's as simple as that. Take that as a journal, affirming what you want and affirming what you do not want. First, strong first position. Strong first position is how you speak to yourself has an effect on how you master your abilities and achievements. How you speak to yourself. You're the one living with you. What is the consistent words that you say to yourself? The self-talk is so powerful. Our brain doesn't know any different. You can be in a place where everyone around you could be saying not very nice things or put downs. But if you validate and affirm yourself, knowing that Allah is the one that has given you so much blessing, the ability to speak, the ability to breathe, the ability to feel safe. There's so many things that are gifts to us. The ability to see, the ability to have conscious awareness. Allah brought you here right now. This is not some coincidence. Allah put the idea in Naima's head to do this conference, to bring us together, to talk about him, to remind us to go back to our fitra. You know, our fitra is innately resilient. Look at children. Allah created them innately resilient. They're born in a joyful state. They're born to, if they cry, they have needs, they just cry for it. They explore. They're not too worried what other people think. I'm watching my son. He just started walking. He's 16 months. And it's like he kept falling. He kept falling. Not once did he say, oh, no, I failed. I've got to stay down here. I can't get up. No. And he got up and he walked on, you know. And that's what we need to do. We will fall. This is the condition of this life. But the opportunities that come from that test, that's the things that will cultivate. That's the things that will push us through. If anything, the hardest tests that crush us are the most beautiful things that teach us. The hardest tests that crush us are the most beautiful things that teach us. And I'm talking to you as someone that's been very tested in many different aspects. You know, I just came from a very big test with my eldest son. You know, I don't want to go into details, but he was in hospital for about 4 years. Sorry, not 4 years. Allah forbid, Allah protect him, for 4 weeks. And I can't tell you how humbling this test was. And I think, subhanAllah, Allah, you give the test that I'm meant to have for the thing that I'm meant to show up for later in life. So no, we have to believe in ourselves. And I've given you quick two quotes here. I should have found some Muslim quotes, but I found these two. Once we believe in ourselves, we can risk curiosity, wonder, spontaneous delight, or any experience that reveals the human spirit. Passion is energy. Feel the power that comes from focusing on what excites you. Okay, so cultivating your heart. Okay, cultivating your heart. Think about your nafs, our heart, you know, creating a powerful vision. Why am I asking you to think about creating a powerful vision? How does that relate to self-worth, self-care, and self-love? When you have a purpose in life, when you cultivate something, create something positive, it moves you forward in life like the water to row your boat on the sea of life. And letting go is about removing a resistance. It's detaching the anchors from your boat so you make effective progress when you row. So cultivating and letting go is the two concepts that come from Brené Brown's book, Daring Greatly. So she talks about if you want to let go of shame, because shame is the driving force of perfection. Shame is the one thing that stops us from stepping up for ourselves. It stops us from living the life we want to live. It stops us, allows us to keep putting ourselves on hold. It allows us to not say, you know what, I am not going to value myself enough to give myself what I need right now. What do you need right now? Important. When you create a powerful vision for your life, when you say, you know what, this is my purpose, going back to our future, what is the purpose of my life? You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I created man and jinn to worship him. So when we stand on the day of judgment, we're going to be accountable. We're going to be asked about what was the condition of my life? What was the amana? What did I do with my life? How did I show up? How did I use my money? How did I use my skills and abilities that Allah gave me? What did I do for my deen? How did I raise my children? We're going to be questioned. So we has Omar Anhu said, hold yourself accountable before you're held account. Go back to your heart. So cultivating your heart. What are you holding in your heart that is hurting you? That is not creating self-care. That is actually self-destruction to your heart. Release the ways, what weighs you down. Your progress is limited, slow, and painful until you release that, until you let go. Your wisdom, your truth, your love, your light, they are what you want to cultivate. And that they are cultivated within, and from within they ripple out. Stop putting yourself on hold. If there's one thing that I hope my mothers can walk away from, is the second you give permission to yourself to stop putting yourself on hold, to allow, to give permission for whatever your self-care looks like, to make time to journal, to make time to write, to get your thoughts out onto paper, to take this all off, do a beautiful brain dump. They're awesome. Get the brain dump and write it all out. Get clear and to get up and make dua. Ask Allah, give me clarity. You know, that's one of the greatest gifts after iman is good mental health, is clarity, mental health and insights. If Allah's given you an insight in any way and at any time, that is the greatest gift. That is a place where we can make so much shukr and gratefulness. Allah has given me clarity. He's made me aware. When Allah loves someone, He brings them closer to Him. He gives them awareness of something. And we have that. It's taking back our life and saying, you know what? I don't have enough time. I don't have this. I can't do this. No. Let it go. When are you going to let it go? Your wisdom, your truth, your love, your light. You are putting on hold the key to your joy and happiness as a mother and to raising your children in alignment with your heart, with your soul, with self-compassion, trusting Allah that journey will be fruitful. What does your heart need right now? Share in the chat. Tell me one thing. Your subconscious mind is going to tell you straight away and you'll either reject it or take it away. What does your heart need right now?
Some great comments coming through here, mashallah, sister, subhanallah, so much truth, so deep, so much learning. Sis says, love is coming through, peace is coming through. Sis says, mashallah, this is making me think so much. And healing is coming through. We've got peace and contentment. This is what people feel that their hearts need right now. Mashallah. There was a question here. A sister missed the end of what you said about the hardest tests that crush us. I'm not sure whether you remember what you said there. It was a bit of a mic drop moment, but you said, do you remember what it was?
I think the hardest tests that crush you are the ones that prepare you for what is coming next, mm-hmm. What prepares you for. Well, Allah gives you exactly the test that you need at the time that you need it. And sometimes the most crushing tests teach us. Because I'm just thinking from my own mind, whatever comes up is like I don't pre-plan what comes to my mind. But I think the most crushing tests that come to us, there's so much wisdom and a lesson for us for what we need in the future.
Yeah. We've got my heart needs consistency in my relationship with my Lord. We've got forgiveness for myself and others, contentment, and to be gentle with myself and accept where I am at this moment and enjoy the now.
Okay, that is self-care. That is reclaiming the heart. That's that mental self-care. We are, us women are under strong mental load. Very. Our mental load is heavy. More children you have, the more mental load. You know, it's heavy. And so that self-care, the first self-care is reclaiming back our mindset. Our mental well-being, and that is what we need. Writing it down, getting it out, being clear on your purpose. When you're clear on your purpose, you are able to say no, to be able to say yes to what matters more. You're able to say no more to the things that you can say yes to those things. If you're saying yes, 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 what's going to happen? But if you know your purpose, you know your alignment of your value, what are the things that I need to focus on in my life? You're going to show up differently and you'll be able to say when something comes to you, it's like, no, that doesn't sit with me. And you know what's a beautiful thing about cultivating alignment with our heart, really reclaiming back? What I have found is you come up with more ikhlas and more sincerity because you're doing things really from that true place that you feel love. You feel like the love is there, the energy of that love. Living a wholehearted life is a sincere life. It's so aligned. And Allah wants us to be aligned. You think as a believer, our inner state has to reflect our outer state. The usually most of the hot problems where we feel two-faced or procrastinating or some issue there is when we're not aligned with what our heart really is trying to tell us. And going back to that, because Allah puts that innate wisdom. He puts it in our heart. Okay, this one's a big one. And this got me through a big test. Acceptance. Acceptance is self-care to me. Acceptance is the ability to allow people, circumstances, and situations to be as they are. It's a conscious choice to not resist the experience of your life, but really to permit them to be as they are and flow with what is happening. It stems from the recognition that this moment right now is the result of all the previous moments that came before it proper. This moment right now is the expression of the now. To fight it or to fight the flow of the qadar, a resistant task to say the least. What do you need to stop resisting? I want just to pause as mothers and just really think about that. What do you need to stop resisting? In one word.
I feel resistance right now. I don't know whether anybody else is feeling it, because I feel like what I know is that as a mother, I'm responsible for what goes on in my house, for what goes on around me, for how my children behave. And this is a difficult one. Have you ever had anybody have that type of response to kind of acceptance and allowing people, situations to be as they are? Please just talk to that, inshallah.
It reminds me of a place where sometimes we think we're in control and we want to be in control. We want to kind of have things a certain way. But sometimes it's not about controlling or doing or trying. It's about just being, allowing some things to go how they're meant to go. And sometimes we overthink it. When I think about why I'm not resisting something, what is it I'm resisting? Why am I resisting it? Naima?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening. Mm.
Yeah, when I'm saying like one of the things you said was about behavior. Mm-hmm. You said like my children's, something about my children's behavior.
Yeah.
What was it you said?
Yeah, just so you know, if I accepting that my children, okay, so I'll give the example of messy, okay? Or yeah. If kids are lazy, yeah? Or they squabble, or any of the things that kids do, right? How as mothers, are you saying that we should accept and just kind of allow? I don't know. Can you hear, like, for me, this is why I'm struggling to embrace this concept, because I'm like, if I accept things the way they are, then I'm responsible for a bad situation, and then I'm negligent, and I'm, you know, not doing what I'm supposed to do as a mother. I don't know. Is that, am I seeing it the wrong way?
No, that's your perception of things. The thing is, you're very driven by the outcome, and the outcome, most of us want an outcome. Yes. There's an outcome. Like, if I don't do this, this, and this, I'm going to be responsible. This is the outcome. The thing is, the outcome is in Allah's hands. The outcome is always in Allah's hands. We can raise our children up to not be messy, to be organized, to input, you know, what we do have within our hands is that the ability to show up in that process every day. Mm-hmm. Well, however that shows up, it's letting it happen, but also being, taking healthy boundaries and taking back some of that understanding that I don't have to control every single thing that goes on in my life, because that's where the mental load, that's where we don't allow ourselves to have a break. We don't allow ourselves, because we're operating at this level all the time. And then the outcome is always in Allah's hands. We could raise our children up with strong iman, do everything possible we can, and bring them up in every way that's pleasing to Allah. And just like Prophet Noor and many other prophets before us, they may have become adults that leave our deen, or they may become kufar. May Allah protect and may Allah guide our children. The outcome was never in our hands to start with. So when we resist something, we're resisting the qadr of Allah. When we resist that, it's almost like we put up a frustration, or there's more emotions around this, more of a fire. This acceptance is more of allowing us, having more of a conscious choice to choose. What am I going to let go of? I need to let go of so that I enchant my life. Of course, we don't let go of everything. And what are the things that I'm resisting? That's not allowing, that's actually causing me more grief. That's causing me more frustration, because the outcome was not in our hands. It will never be in our hands. I have today. I can build and do what I can today. And I don't know what will happen tomorrow. But it's more for me, I see it it's more that the qadr will come. And when I put this up, I was thinking of test.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that when you look at test and it will come, the death of someone. And you would know that your husband passed away. I'm like, it was, when did you ever go through that and decide, I have to accept this, I have to surrender to this?
Yeah, actually, that's interesting that you say that, because when it comes to tests, it is so interesting. Again, it's the story I'm telling myself, because in that situation, acceptance was my immediate go-to. Like, that's where I went immediately. There was no resistance whatsoever. But I think, we've got some of the attendees who are saying, you know, similar things that, you know, Sister Rahima says, I used to force my kids to do what I think is important in their lives. However, I was made to know that I cannot control them. I can show and tell them what they are to do and then leave the decisions to them. I've done my part, because it was really getting me frustrated when I didn't get what I want from them, which is interesting, because this is what it kind of results in when you feel you have to control, and that indeed can control the outcome. Jamila says, I'm struggling with accepting my child the way she is because I don't want her to grow up with the baggage I'm trying to offload now. Ooh, that's deep.
Yeah. And so the cycle breaker, that ends with you. Mm-hmm. We're the ones that are going to be changing. And that's why it's messy work. Because it's like we're going into a territory where we're not just following what our parents did, and we're not just showing up a certain way. We're saying, you know what? I want better. I want some things different here. When I put this one up of acceptance, my reference in my head was about test. How sometimes we have to stop resisting the test, and we got to accept it or submit to it or whatever that color is. With children, one of the biggest things I find is when mothers realize that their perception of their child is actually really their filter that is affecting their relationship with that child.
That hit hard. Please, sis. Oh, sorry, you have to go back and say that again slowly for the people in the back. That is a word right there. Please say it again.
Naima, your motto, I'm going to always remember, your go-to saying is, and tell it to the people at the back.
I got it on Instagram. but say that again, please, please. That was
okay. Mashallah, let me remember what I was saying, subhanAllah. Okay.
Perception. It's about your perception of the child,
your filtering. See, this is a big thing. I spent a whole module on this. I spent a whole workshop on this. Our perception, our filter that we see our child, that impacts the energy and the relationship with that child. If I hold my child as lazy, I'm going to interact with that child as lazy. I'm always going to have this perception, he's completely lazy. I'm going to interact in that way. If I hold that child is naughty, that child is disrespectful, I'm always going to interact with that child with that filter. Until we let go of some of the filters, because remember, behavior is an outcome. Behavior is not the definition of that person or that child. It's an outcome of our beliefs, our values, how other people, it's like a self-prophecy. If we hold a child in a certain behavior, yes, you're like this. I was just doing this morning. I was coaching a mother, and her child has a disability, and she keeps emphasizing the child's disability. And I said to her, why do you call the child, why do you keep telling the child she has this disability? And she's like, because it is a disability. I said, yeah, but why do you have to keep reminding her it's a disability? To me, it's just a visual processing issue. It's just a processing issue. More than she's not her label. She's more than that. And I was thinking, subhanAllah, my son had the exact same thing that her one of my children had, a slight, maybe less than what her daughter had. Not once in my life have I told him, oh, you know, you've got a learning difficulty, you've got a disability. Never once. Because I want him to believe, and he can believe, that he's capable. If you tell one of the biggest things, Naima, I've never written a book, love writing, love doing posts, I love writing. I never did a book because I can remember the words of my year one teacher always told me I'm such a bad writer, I'm a bad speller. Yeah. And it's taken me up until this age. So subconsciously held that in my that perception that I was a bad speller, bad writer, mm-hmm. almost hitting 40 and thinking, oh my God, I've held this belief and that stopped me from writing a book. It stopped me from actually putting all these words together. I've only consciously become aware of that this year. So what our perceptions are, we filter, we distort, we delete, we take away. That's why a lot of times women, when you tell them something good about themselves,
they'll delete that. Subconsciously they'll delete it because as a child, they weren't supposed to acknowledge their good. They weren't supposed to acknowledge their truth. They weren't supposed to acknowledge the, you know, we're not supposed to acknowledge certain things about ourselves. Or they denied that part of you. They weren't allowed, the rejected part of themselves. You know, I was the big bossy big sister. I rejected that until I became, nah, I'm going to speak my truth. It doesn't really matter what anyone thinks anymore because I need to speak my truth because maybe there's just one person's life that changes by me speaking the story of my truth. Then isn't that beautiful, Alma? Because that's how we share. Stories are the things that reclaim. They connect us at a different level. They help us to really realize how human we are. We're all vulnerable. We all cry. We all go through experiences that are crushing. We all feel feelings of grief and hopelessness and sadness at times. We also feel blessed and joy and happiness. We're a range of human beings. The more raw and open, authentic we step up in our lives, the more we show up in our life and say, you know what, I'm doing this. You know what was the most incredible perception that we do by doing that? We show up with our children and say, you know what, this is life. I'm mirroring to my children my life. This is life. Is life a big adventure? Is life depression and tests? What is life? What is the message I'm sending to my child about life? What's the perception I'm holding about them? It's very powerful. And one of the things is many of us don't make time for self-love. You ask so many men, what should be his challenge with self-love and self-worth? I was told, you know, I shouldn't look after myself, or I'm only here to bring up children. Or, you know, my mom used to laugh. I had one the other day. My mom used to laugh at me when I said to her, I wanted to paint or something like that, like something for herself. So she learned very young that she's not supposed to do things for herself. If we held our children in more of a perception that you matter, you are heard, you are seen, speak your voice, remind them to validate themselves internally, we're going to have a stronger ummah. And so that it comes back to us taking the power, taking that. We have that role, of course, in Allah's hands. But I want to go in my grave smiling. I want to be lowered into that earth knowing I did what I could do. I showed up for my children. I spoke to them. I listened to them. I really listened to them. I heard what their heart wanted. And when we go back to that, all of us doing that in our own homes, we strengthen our ummah. And when we really show them, no, mum needs some time for herself, mum is giving permission to go and exercise so she looks after her body because the body's amana. I'll be back in an hour. When we send this message to our children that our body, our soul, our heart is valuable, we're indirectly telling them, look after yourself. Alhamdulillah. Sorry, girls, I can talk.
No, everyone is appreciating, you know, they are picking up what you are putting down. Mashallah. We've got people replays, making sure that there will be a replay, making sure that it will be recorded. And also I think that game changer, your perception of your child is the filter through which you interact with that child. I think everyone can relate to that. And definitely, you know, see how their perception of their individual children, maybe of their husband or their family members or even friends, is impacting how they show up and how they interact with that person. We've got sisters in tears. We've got sisters saying, woohoo. We've got a jazakallahu khair and we've got yup, yups. So yeah, all good, sis. Keep going.
No worries, inshallah. Bismillah. Okay, I want to talk about something that I think is really important with cultivating self-care, and that is cultivating your heart, really holding on to hope. Sorry, I'll go back. So it's hope. The thing is, we're in this fast-paced culture, right, where instant, everything's instant. I want to do this, I want to do that. Sometimes things are not at our timing. Think of Musa alayhi salam. How long did he have to wait before Fir'aun was destroyed? He made dua. From the time he made dua to the time that Fir'aun was completely taken away, Musa had to wait a period of time. He had to go through that test of that wait. Sometimes things are not at our timing, but we must always hold on to hope and choose hope. Remember, there's always khair. It's easy to believe it isn't possible or stay motivated, but when we're willing to make the changes and take fully responsibility for our lives, the results will come with Allah's permission. And the righteous will go to heaven, Jannah. this is what you were promised for the doing good, and who feel the Ar-Rahman and had a sound heart. We carry positive hope. A believer holds onto that hope. Shifting our focus, shifting our heart's goals. What's your heart's goal? Get passionate. Get like, if you really want to create beautiful self-love and pass it to your children and give that vibe, because love is the highest vibration. Love is the highest vibration of energy. We are energy souls. Our souls connected. You know, we are believers. Our souls connect. That vibration of love, shifting. What is your heart's goal? And most importantly, we have self-compassion for ourselves and others, knowing the best planner is planning best for us. What we want and what will happen will be exactly when Allah wants it. I'm telling you, I made dua to go Hajj 12 years ago. And I made dua and I saved up and made dua. And then my ex-husband, he got to go Hajj and my visa was rejected. And I cried for a week and thought, you know, why is Allah stopping me? I'm the one that saved. I'm the one that really wanted to go. And then subhanAllah, 12 years later, I was standing in front of the Kaaba, and it was in February. It was a week before they closed the Kaaba because of COVID-19. And I was standing in front of the Kaaba 12 years later, and it was 2 a.m. in the morning, and I was on Umrah. And I said, Ya Allah, now I know why you stopped me from going for Hajj 12 years ago, and you made me stand at this moment at 2 a.m. in the morning on February the 5th, 2020, in front of the Kaaba and make this dua next to my husband. And I said, this was the one thing, because we both had married before and he has a child and I have four children from a previous marriage. It was the one thing that we got to do together that was the first thing together. And we're much older too, you know, we both got married when much younger. And it was like, this was our thing. This was our going for Umrah together. It was our bond. It was our thing that we waited for. And it was also, I waited 12 years because I was going through this test with my son, my eldest son at the time. He's medically unwell. And it was like, I needed that the most. I needed that so much to stand in front of the Kaaba and ask Allah for his mental and emotional health. And anything can happen, you know, subhanAllah, anything. So knowing the timing might not happen when you want it, but it will happen when it's meant to be. So trust in Allah's plan. When we hold that, we hold this beautiful perception of Allah, right? It's all about perception. When we hold a more beautiful perception of Allah, we start to understand that Allah wants good for us. There's khair in everything for us. And we stand up in a place that, don't I want khair and good for myself? Don't I want to look after myself? If I look after myself, if I carve out time for myself, if I prioritize myself, it's not selfish. I'm looking after the amanat of my heart and my soul. I'm passing this beautiful message to my children and the people around me that it's okay and beautiful to look after yourself, because better to be well and striving and helping and supporting and looking after yourself and looking after others than being in a place of depression and burnout and exhaustion. So there's a fine balance there. And it always comes back to us saying to ourselves, I take responsibility for my life. I take responsibility to hold on to this. I want to share with you this beautiful saying. And my mother gave me this saying about the time I got divorced about 6 years ago. And it really was something, I was really in a point where the test was starting to feel so crushing. It was really hard time. And this saying, in accordance with how good your expectation of and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are, and how truthful your reliance and tawakkul and trust are in Him, Allah will not betray your hopes in the least, as He does not, subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not betray your hopes of those who hope and does not cause any effort to go wasted. That's said by Sa'd Abu Muhammad al-Qadisi from Reflections, Expecting the Best from Allah. And he wrote that book in jail. So there was a sheikh that was locked up in jail, and he wrote that book, and it just reminded me that Allah will never betray my hopes and that Allah will never cause any effort to go wasted. And mums, so many times we look at our children and we carry this perception, oh no, I failed, or oh no, his behaviors, oh no, he did this. Just remember, no effort's ever going to get wasted. Allah's got that in store. What is around the corner may cause you great happiness. So just hold this positive image of your child, that child could be the means of Hidayah, could be the leader of the Amirul Salihin. He may be the Amir of the Salih, the good. Always hold that, because what your perception is also your dua. Your dua, you're going to be more likely to turn to dua because you're carrying a perception that I hope the best for my child. I want a good outcome, outcome in Allah's hand. Allah can manifest anything if we hold on to hope and trust. I wrote this 3 years ago. I'm building a sanctuary within with compassion and understanding, shifting the negative to the positive and creating balance, contentment and peace. It's meant to say wherever I go with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission. Okay, letting go. Okay, think about resistance. What do I need to let go that's weighing me down? What do you need to let go of? What do you need to choose to declutter your soul? And I've already asked that question. What have you neglected about yourself? So start with one or the first or second. What is one thing you need to let go of right now? Thinking about spiritually, thinking about mindset, thinking about physically, thinking about your children, thinking about family relationships, thinking about anything around you. What is going to be the cycle breaker? That if you let go, this ends with me. I'm not passing this on to my children. I'm choosing now to let go of this. What is that thing?
Sister says worry. And while everybody's gathering themselves, Sister Zoe says letting go of the results with a capital R. And constant fear of failing is coming up. Letting go of the outcome. Letting go of negativity.
Thank you, Naima.
Sister, just as an aside, Sister Rafia says, I didn't know what to expect from this conference as I stumbled upon it yesterday, but I'm glad I came. I'm glad I'm making the time. Jazakallah khairan.
Alhamdulillah, Allah planted you here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so letting go of perfection is powerful self-care. So letting go of perfection is powerful self-care. Oh, sorry, Lois. This is my son's laptop or something. It's my Isaiah.
Life can be so hard sometimes.
Sorry.
To break you up and...
It goes fitting for actually this song, this slide. That's Maha Zain. It's my son's laptop, so I think he was listening to it before.
For some reason, the first bits were coming through, I was thinking, oh, she's got a nice didgeridoo playing for us in the background.
Oh, subhanAllah.
You should have just put that like the mood, Maha Zain, in the
background. I know, it worked out well, alhamdulillah. It's actually Maha Zain's song about letting go, so
oh,
what's up
really?
That?
Oh wow,
yeah, around that.
Perfect.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, so I'm an engaged, imperfect woman, passionate to learn more, raise our children to embrace their vulnerabilities and imperfections and know their strengths. So many of us were brought up on certain expectations that we a fear of failing, a fear of mistakes, a fear of really rumbling with our vulnerability. And a lot of blame, shame, and that. And this is the key, is that if we learn to let go of our imperfection, of our perfectionism, and actually show up raw and imperfect, we connect. You're connecting to me more here because I'm showing up as I am now. I'm not here to prove anything. I'm saying, you know, I struggle too. And this is what I've done in my life to hold back my self-care and self-love is reclaim my soul, reclaim what I want, my passions. What are the things that I want to show up? What do I need to let go in my life? And it's a continuous journey. And you know what's the most beautiful thing about it? Is that you just grow. You just keep growing because you're asking Allah to give you more clarity, to give you more awareness, to help you to show up, you know? And many times as children, we protect ourselves. We protected ourselves from being blamed. We protected ourselves from certain emotions, you know, we protected ourselves from being hurt. We were either diminished or put down or things happened to us. It doesn't necessarily from our parents. It could be a well-meaning teacher. It could be messages from our culture to serve, to be there, to people please, you know, put other people first. Of course, part of our deen is Ikram al-Muslimin. We do look after the needs and rights of others. But Allah does not allow us to oppress ourselves either. So it's being aware that if I really want to connect, if I really want to show up, I want to take my place in this world and teach myself certain things and be seen, I have to put the armor down. I have to stop numbing. I have to stop disassociating, which is like, I have to stop being an autopilot. I have to let go of certain things. I have to let go of worry and really trust in Allah's plan. So these things, subhanAllah.
All you want to do is cry. Shut the door and hide. Don't surrender.
Alhamdulillah. Sorry, ladies.
Maher Zain is like speaking life to this, to this presentation. He's just like,
I came with everything.
Everything, yes. I just want to share a couple of things that have been shared by some of the attendees. Sister says, subhanAllah, I cannot stop crying. That shows me how much I need to really let all of this sink in and figure myself out. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. May Allah make it a means for everyone here to get what it is that they need. Sister Rahima says it's this is the importance of letting go of imperfection or perfection in relation to her kids. Another sister says letting go of expectations of others rather choosing to go with my own goals for myself.
Yeah. And you know the thing about perfection, there's always some kind of outer validation that we're trying to seek, or there's some shame driving it. There's some, it's almost like a self-defense. It's not something that when we try to aim for perfection, Allah did not create us perfect. We're meant to be imperfect. We're meant to have flaws. We're meant to show up. You know, it prevents us from being seen. It holds us down. And so we have to be aware of that. Healthy boundaries. Healthy boundaries to me is a beautiful skill. And I wrote this poem, I think I wrote it about 2 weeks ago. I'm the safest person for my inner child. Inner child meaning the little me, whatever that looks like of you. The way others respond to my boundaries says more about them than about me. I allow others to have their own feelings about my boundaries. I allow myself to unplug from others' issues. It's okay for me to do things differently than my mother. I only have to handle the present moment. Others are responsible for her own experience or their own experiences. I don't have to take the behaviors of others personally. I can remove myself from a situation if I'm uncomfortable. It's okay if things don't go as planned. Choosing an empowered mindset is a major step in my healing. I have a right to protect my emotional and mental space. I am no one's emotional punching bag. And Islam is all about healthy boundaries. We cannot have healthy boundaries in our lives if we don't have self-worth. We will not have self-worth until we really know that we matter. So self-love actually helps us to create the life that we want, to redesign our life in a way that we create those boundaries, healthy limits and boundaries around our time, who has access to our time and energy, how much we're really wedding to give. You can honor that you want to give and serve others, but have your boundaries around it so that you make time for your ibadah, you make time for your children, you make time for the things that you are also passionate about. It's about balance, isn't it? Our Prophet Muhammad was the most balanced. If you look at the legacy of his life and who he was a very balanced person. He had healthy boundaries. He knew his allocated time to his family, he knew his allocated time for commitments. He knew when going to the masjid 5 times. He wasn't overwhelmed to think, oh no, the people are coming and they're trying to get all my energy and time. He knew himself. And isn't he the best example for us to follow? That song seems to go between each one, so that's just part of the presentation at the moment. Okay, and this is another one I wrote, the power of validating me to me. Your feelings are all okay with me. I love supporting your freedom and individuality. I love taking care of you and supporting you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a source of support in my own life. I'm here for you. So you're saying that to yourself, I'm here for you. You have all that you need to support you. Allah's given you everything you need. It's all within. I'm the adult. You are allowed. And journal, you are allowed. You get to receive. Receive means accepting help. It's saying that it's not a weakness. It actually supports me and helps me. It honors me. to help others and to accept help. You can rest in me. Okay, almost finished the slides. I'm aware of time, ladies. I'm getting a bit over. Restoration and rest. Essential. What is your level? Permission to stop. Need to be able to rest mentally and take a break of everything because I deserve to be mentally nourished too. Cultivating action rest. Cultivating action rest cycle. I'm telling you, that rest cycle is your self-care. You can cultivate and you can create and you can do a new action, and then you have that rest and restoration. Allow your body's huck, it's right over you. And doing that is a beautiful self-care. Not feeling guilty about resting. You know, guilt really is self-loathing. It's telling yourself, how dare you have an afternoon sunnah nap, when it's actually sunnah and it's actually beneficial for us. So allowing ourselves, giving ourselves permission, you know what? I just did something that's going to allow me to be productive, to cultivate. I listen with love and understanding to my body's needs. I practice self-compassion, self-care, self-discipline, and give permission to look after myself to a healthy mind, body, and soul. Inshallah. Almost done, ladies.
Every day is a brand new start.
Repeat after me. I love and accept my commitments to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I lovingly accept my energy and intensity. I lovingly accept my skills and ability that Allah has given me. I lovingly accept my dreams and desires. I lovingly accept my big commitments to truth and authenticity, showing up. I lovingly accept who I am right now. I lovingly accept my dear sister's success and flaws, just like I accept them within myself. I'm in no one's competition. I lovingly accept my children's journey because they're all gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They truly are, subhanAllah. It's so fitting, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah. Sorry. Okay, this is a dua. I said, for anyone that needs to hear this, may Allah ease your pain. May Allah grant your patience and fill your heart with his light. If you're struggling, know that you're not alone and that Allah is the best of planners, the fixer of the heart, the giver of tranquility, peace, and joy. Seek his comfort. Be personal and emotional with your Rabb, acknowledging my flaws and vulnerabilities, my tests and sadness to him. And he is the most merciful of those that show mercy. Acknowledging I am far from perfect and so in need of him. And Allah bless your days and nights with barakah and progress towards his light. What do I believe about myself? How much do I care about myself? Awesome journal topics. Sit down and make that time. Cultivate that time. You owe it to yourself, mums. We do so much for everybody else. Owe it to yourself to come back to your future, to your purpose. What do I need to believe about myself? How much do I care about myself?
Oh, let it go.
Oh. Okay. This is me and my gifts and talents. I'm a woman of good character, not perfect, but moving forward in doing good. I can own this and embrace joy in who I am and what I am doing. But the ones who believe and do righteous deeds, inshallah, will commit to gardens and each river's flow, wherein they will abide forever. It is a promise of Allah, which is true. And who is more truthful than Allah in statement? When will you give full permission to yourself to share your gifts and talents in good deeds? Inshallah, in this life. Okay, my dear sisters. I want to offer you a free gift. This is my Quran future self journaling positive affirmations reflection booklet. And it's a little booklet that I put together for my sisters in my Thrive and Shine. Once a year, I do an 11-month Thrive and Shine. I take an intake of sisters, and we go through a beautiful 11-month journey. And this is one of the tools we do together, which is our Quran future journaling. And anyone that wants that, I'll put the link in, and you can just pop your email in, and inshallah, I'll send it to you. So that's a little gift that I wanted, and it's great. It's really great prompts that I've put in there, and I've related it to ayats of Quran that I thought were related to that. To the particular prompt coaching kind of question that I'm asking you to journal. Journal, journal, journal. It's a beautiful way to rewire the brain, especially when journaling about what are the future that we want, you know. And Allah is the one who manifests. He manifests the outcome. He manifests the du'as. But we put the effort. You know, what's in our hands we can do. But knowing the outcome is in Allah's hands.
And I love that, sis. And inshallah, what we will do, everyone, we will send this link out to you via email. And Khadija, we can also post it directly in the Facebook group, so it's easier for people just to click. And
oh, yeah, definitely. Inshallah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think you have a special offer for us, right?
I've just got my motherhood empowerment course. It's a self-paced one. It's like 10 beautiful modules. It's specifically for helping you in raising children and just coming back to yourself. Some of the things, a little bit of what I've touched on, it's like a 12-week course and a breakthrough 60-minute one-to-one coaching session. I'm doing that at a special offer. I put the link in there for, just for the ladies of this group. And I'm also, you know, I'm offering, if you want to enroll into next year's, I only take about 20 women on the journey. I've already filled up a few places. So if it's something that resonates with you, get in contact with me, inshallah. I am on Instagram, and I will put this link up if anyone's interested. Interested in that one. I just that's my Instagram, Muslim Motherhood Coach, and my Facebook is Muslim Motherhood Circle. And I would love to hear your takeaways, inshallah.
Right, ladies. So what we'll do, inshallah, is if we can, Khadija, you can post in the Facebook group with these links, and people can, you know, basically connect with you directly there. Or you guys can follow her on Instagram and send her a DM. Regardless, we'll send out the links on email, inshallah. And we've got some people who are already saying that they're interested. So that's amazing. But would love to hear from you guys as to what you feel your biggest takeaways were from this session. And I want to say Jazakallah khairan to you, Sister Khadija, for really, really kicking us off with a bang, as with fire, as Sister Layinka said. And, you know, just giving us a lot of food for thought. I think that's what I would say, mashallah. So definitely, guys, we can continue the conversation in the Facebook group to share your takeaways there as well. But for now, can you see the chat now, Khadija?
Yes, I can.
Okay, you can read the comments then.
Yeah. Jazakallah. Oh, you want me to read them?
You can read them yourself, yeah.
I'm just a mind blank for a second. My takeaway, you do not need permission from anyone to take care of yourself. Oh, Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Mashallah, I appreciated this. I need to rewatch this. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah, may Allah reward you abundantly. May Allah reward all of us. Secondly, your perception of your child is the filter through which you interact with the child's partner. Amazing first session. I can't wait. Sister, same here. Alhamdulillah. So, some beautiful takeaways. I'm so grateful, alhamdulillah. It's all from the permission of Allah, and He brought us all here together. And may He bring us together in a much better place, inshallah. Last takeaway, my biggest takeaway is maintaining boundaries and not feel guilty for the rest cycle. Oh, that is beautiful. Alhamdulillah.
You know what I was thinking when you were speaking, and you mentioned so many different things from psychology, that those of us who are coaches and have been coached and have been like learning about coaching and NLP, we're so familiar with them, but I think we'd be surprised how many sisters do not know what we mean when we say, like, you know, filters, for example, or how your perception alters things, or even your inner child attachment, you know, what were some of the things that you said about deflection and deletion and all of that? I feel like we need to have like an NLP conference or something, like for psychology basics, for sisters to kind of reclaim control of their state, of their mind state, you know, because I think that's what are your thoughts on that?
You know, subhanAllah, I can remember 4 years ago being a student of Layinka, and I did a 12-week course with her.
Inshallah. Yeah. Wow, really?
Yeah, I was one of her first students in one of her courses. Cool. And Layinka was the first one that made me so aware. Like, the growth I had in that 12 weeks around perception was like, oh my God, I'm filtering all this, and it got me onto doing, you know, two back-to-back courses in, you know, NLP, emotional mastery and NLP communication, but she was the seed. And I just think, legacy, Layinka, that you're leaving behind, and you can see the growth in 4 years. Like, when you dedicate yourself to your growth, who I am then and who I am now is a completely different person. And it's just like, subhanAllah, you know what's the most beautiful thing is, Naeem and all the dear sisters, is that Allah doesn't attack us. You know, that's a part of this life. But the more resilient you are, the more you may be aware of who you are and what there is. When the tests do hit and they do crush it sometimes, you just come from a place that it's okay. You know, I've got this. Allah's with me. Allah's here with me. It's like your perception and your mindset, the more you strengthen it in this healing journey and as you grow and as you really embrace your vulnerability and your courage and your values and your skills and everything Allah's given us, you actually can have gratitude in a test. We can actually humbly accept, okay, what am I meant to learn here? It becomes like a self-discovery journey.
Yes, it's curiosity, yeah. Yes. I love that. Yeah. Oh, Link is here crying. She's just like, what's
oh, is she? Oh, my beautiful
what
Lenka.
A what a blessing. Please do read some more.
Should I make you cry a little bit more, Lenka? I'll show you one thing. I'll share something. When I was in Umrah, I asked Allah, I said, in specific with name, I said, Allah, let me do something with Lenka and Naima. And I said that in Umrah. Yeah.
Oh, hey, hello, my friend.
I went, yeah. And when you sent me that email about a month ago, I was going through the real test and my son was in hospital. I was like, and when you sent it to me, I remember smiling, making shukr. I said, yeah, Allah, you accepted that. Allah, like, subhanAllah. And I just thought, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah. So this, you know, subhanAllah, we don't realize, we think things come from us, but nothing comes from us.
SubhanAllah. I love it. Oh my God. My heart is absolutely full right now. I just want to go and make sujood and go to bed, but I can't. That is so amazing. What a blessing to be part of this ummah, to be part of this sisterhood. Seriously, it's just, just the best, mashallah. So I think, guys, let's thank Sister Khadija for this amazing session. You know, mashallah, there's some great comments here from the audience. You know, our efforts as mothers, wives and daughters and sisters, they do not go to waste. So resist the urge to feel disheartened if our children or loved ones do not take the path we hope they will. You do not know what the future holds. And I love what Minella says here. Whatever trauma happens to us is not our responsibility, but our healing is definitely our responsibility through which we grow as humans. In other words, unlearning what we've learned through childhood is in our power if we're willing to do the deep work. She loves the tools that were given here as well, mashallah. Oh, so good, so good. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan, sis. May Allah bless you and your family with every khair. And hopefully we'll see you in some of the other sessions as well. But please pop into the Facebook group as soon as this is over and, you know, make that post.
Yeah.
Put your links in there. And everybody who wants to ask questions, get more information about, you know, your programs and what they can do with you, guys, feel free to just connect with Sister Khadija in the Facebook group, okay? And I'll see you guys at 3:00, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
Subhanakallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa barakatuh.